All right, welcome back to the Year I Podcast, episode 7070. Back with me and Jamie and our special guest, Fraser. How are you doing today?
What's up, boys?
Awesome. We've had you on before.
Yes.
Good to have you on again. Simple question we ask is, how's your week been so far?
How's my week been? Oh, dude. I had conjunctivitis this week, so it's been a good week. But check how red my eye is.
Oh shit!
It was pretty much fully red.
How long does it take?
4 days ago.
How long does it take to like clear up and get rid of?
I'm not contagious anymore. Like I'm fine now, but like I think a blood vessel popped, so it might take weeks before the red's gone.
Yeah.
But I was like, I couldn't even open my eyes like 4 days ago, man. I was like opening, like waking up like this. Open my eyes.
How do you get conjunctivitis? Is it just like?
I think it passed through my family. I think nephew had it, and then my mum got it, and it's very contagious. But I don't have it right now.
Okay, good.
I'm chilling out with.
We're good. Then.
I kind of would be keen on a week off work, but hey, it's okay. It's okay.
I wouldn't mind a week off work too.
You can touch my eye if you want. Take a look.
So, how was LA?
Oh, dude, it's awesome, man. Me and the wife were there for 2 months. Mm. It's like our second home now. We've got a whole community over there. We're applying for visas, trying to move there.
Are you thinking of moving there?
Oh, yeah. No. We're totally going to move there. So we're
that's awesome.
Sorting visa stuff out. But it's our second home, eh? We just love it.
Where roughly are you thinking of moving to in LA?
Dude, that's the big question, man. We kind of house sat a number of different areas on the 2 months. But We do love Malibu, but it's pretty pricey.
Yeah,
so
it can be.
Otherwise, I don't know, man. Like Hollywood, kind of Hollywood Hills area. I don't know if you guys have been to LA.
Yeah, I've once.
Where did you stay?
How old was I? 18. We stayed. Oh man, I don't even know. It wasn't like a fancy area. It was like a little motel.
Yeah.
I got absolutely no idea.
Was the beach nearby?
No, it wasn't nearby. It was like maybe a 10-minute walk from Hollywood Boulevard.
Okay. Yeah.
Have you looked at Marina Del Rey, those areas?
Yeah, Marina Del Rey is awesome, man.
My uncle used to live there, and when I went over there when I was real young, I was like 8-ish. It was only like a 10-15-minute walk from the pier.
Santa Monica.
Yeah, Santa Monica Pier. Yeah. That I reckon around that area is really cool because you're so close to the beach. Yeah. But
we were house sitting in Venice Beach, and like a 5-minute walk from Marina Del Rey. We love it. Like I feel like every area has its pros and cons, but Hollywood Hills and like East Hollywood is so like La La Land and like magical and like old lampposts and like castles and it's very like movie magic.
What's like the go-to plan when you get there?
Dude, we're just gonna gun on 10,000 dreams.
Keep
on
going. What number are you up to now?
2,113.
Oh, that's awesome.
I got like 50 in the backlog that need to be edited.
You'll probably get heaps when you've got lots of connections there already, right?
Yeah, bro. It's amazing over there, man. People are so generous and everyone's been so incredible with connecting us to people. And
yeah,
I feel like Americans take to 10,000 dreams a lot more than Kiwis do.
Yeah,
it fits America really well,
especially California as well, for sense that everyone, no one's kind of, as whoever's brought up in California leaves, everyone who works currently in California or is filmmaking are there for a reason. They want their dreams to become true. Yeah, so essentially that 10,000 dreams works hand in hand. It's kind of perfect.
You're so right, man. Everyone's a dreamer in LA. And you're right. Most people don't, most people move to LA to pursue a dream. Most people weren't
there for
born
a reason.
And raised there, you know? So everyone you meet is like extremely motivated, passionate, and pursuing a big dream. And this whole building right here, this is so LA right now, like the rooftop thing.
Bro, I love
it like that.
That rooftop vibe, bro, reminds me of like Fred Again's most recent album. I don't know what it is about it, but he also
did the rooftop concert.
Yeah, that's what it reminds me of.
They film a bunch of stuff out there. Jamie did suggest doing the podcast out there, but because it was just kind of like a last minute thing, but one day We will do that out there.
The only problem is with filming out there, it's a bit windy. But
yeah, not too bad today. But
just chuck some socks over the microphone. I reckon we should
socks over the mic.
So DIY, bro.
I've got a question. So since we last spoke to you, how's your life changed since when we last spoke to you? How long ago was that?
About a year, roughly.
Like since the Wiggles documentary, how's your life like? Has it?
Well, I think since then, man, I've really amped it up with 10,000 becoming my main thing. And like, I think I've discovered more now what it is and I'm kind of owning it a lot more, and I'm running with it, man. And I'm doing it with my wife now, and I think since we last met, I've done like 4 trips to LA, and I've spent probably like 4 months in LA since we last saw each other. Fuck. So we've really built a life in America.
Yeah.
And yeah,
you got Mila Kunis, right?
Yeah,
right. I thought that was crazy.
Yeah, man, like it's crazy. Some of the people now that are starting to say yes, it's just mind blowing, man.
Did you end up? I saw a while ago that you were trying to look to get Casey Neistat on the 10,000.
I was gunning, man.
He lives in
New York. He lives in New York.
Yeah.
Did you ever get in contact with him? And is there any plans of trying to get him on in the future?
Oh, bro, I never go in contact with him. I was in New York like a month and a half ago. And
okay.
It didn't happen, but dude, I've got like 40 years left. So
yeah, you got heaps
of time. It's going to happen, man.
I mean, you got what? 8,000 more dreams to ask.
Yeah, it's going
to
happen.
I know your number one is Steven Spielberg, right?
Yeah, Justin Bieber and Steven Spielberg.
How close are we to that?
It's
going to happen.
Well, I know Mila actually connected me to Spielberg's team. So okay. Timing wise, you never know, that could happen. I believe everyone's gonna happen, man. Mm. I'm confident about that. It's just a timing thing. And also, like, when I teed up Elmo's dream, it was meant to happen in 2020, and then COVID kind of canceled it.
Mm.
And then it happened 4 years later.
Didn't that happen like within a day?
Wait, in a...
You organized that within a day, right? The Sesame Street?
I like knew about it for a couple of months, but I flew to Australia for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, that's right.
But it happened like 4 years after when I thought it was originally going to happen. And it was the right time, man. Mm-hmm. I was in the right place. I'm so grateful that it got canceled the first time, you know? So like everything, I'm just so like aware everything happens for a reason. I don't want to rush stuff. I don't want to meet people and just spend 2 minutes with, like, you actually want to be in the right space.
Mm-hmm.
You want them to be in the right space. And I feel like that's what started to happen a lot this year. We're actually building relationships now with the people we film, which never really happened for the first 6 or 7 years.
Really?
Whereas now it just feels like you go and you end up spending like 2 or 3 hours with people and you build friendships. It's real wild, man.
Why do you think that you said about 6 or 7 years ago, or for the past 6 or 7 years ago, you haven't really been not building a connection, but why do you think that's only been happening over the past year or so? Like, you've started kind of, why do you think that is?
Well, originally the idea was getting to 10,000 in 27 and a half years. So one dream every day for 10,000 days. And that meant I was just like
pumping it.
I was like, all right, hey, blah, 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 what's your dream? And then off I went, you know, I'd spend like 10 minutes with people.
Mm.
And I think it became more about ticking off 10,000 dreams.
It was more of a task rather than a passion at that point.
Exactly, man. And now it's a life mission, which means the pace is slower. Now it's about the journey of getting to 10,000 dreams, which means you go in and you spend more time with people. And also, I'm not just holding the camera going, what's your dream anymore? I actually sit down and we end up having like an hour conversation on camera. So now it's kind of morphed into probably like a podcast kind of thing.
Mm.
Even though it's not a podcast, it kind of has morphed into that. So now it really is spending a lot more time and going to people's houses. And like with Mila, it was genuinely going to her house and spending 2 hours with her and Ashton.
That's sick.
Which never would have happened 5 years ago, you know? I probably would have just met her at a press junction you know, and had 2 minutes with her, and that would have been it.
Shit.
Now I kind of avoid that stuff, and I go, even if it takes me 5 years longer, I want to meet Steven Spielberg and spend the day with him at his house. I don't want 5 minutes with him.
You want to actually experience what it's like. Yeah. So you can, I guess as well, if you spend, the longer you spend with him, you can also capture the story and his dream a lot more in depth.
Yes,
because
man.
You understand him a lot more. And with 5 minutes, there's only a certain amount you can understand about someone and a certain amount of questions. When you have the whole day, I mean, you can ask as many bloody questions as you want, right?
Yeah, man. You want people to trust you. And I feel like that's what started to happen this year. Is it feels like people are trusting the whole 10,000 dreams journey a lot more to allow me into their house, you know, like these are people that never would let just random dude in their house, but for some reason I think people are starting to trust it a lot more.
It's a lot better than just kind of like, because when you first started, like you said before, it was just quickly grab out the camera, ask the question.
100% more, man. It's kind of the equivalent of just going up to people on the street and being like, what's your dream? And then you get a 1 minute answer, and then off you go, you never see them again.
And it used to be like, it used to be one a day, right?
Yeah.
And now it's just moved to like
once a week sort of
thing. Like when you've got a good dream to tell.
We still probably post one every single day, but there's
it's not like a
Yeah, like I don't have to. I could take a month off if I want. So there's no, like, I kind of set this, like, these prison walls around myself originally, which is every single day for 10,000 days. No one put that on me. I put that on myself, and it almost destroyed me. And I was like, but if I miss one day, I failed. Everyone's going to think I'm a failure. And it was so unhealthy and so anti what this mission actually is, is about inspiring people and about bringing hope to people. And so the fact that I was destroying myself, it was so anti-brand.
Like, another question is as well is, how can you inspire people if you're not inspirational yourself and you're actually not loving your work, right? 100%, man. So if you take time and chill out, put a bit more aroha, love in the spirit in the project, then you're going to, like, people are going to want to watch it rather than just be like, oh yeah, this is another dream sort of thing. That's pretty cool.
100%, man. And me and my wife, when we meet people, our job is to love on them. So we go into a situation going, the only thing we're meant to do here is love on someone and encourage them. And, you know, and that's made it so special. You know, there's no, you know, it's not an exchange at all. You know, we're not asking for anything from anyone.
It's worked pretty well so far.
Yeah. Like, honestly, it's incredible what can happen when you just go in with the motive to just love on people and serve people and bless people. Because we really want to encourage people. Because it's not often you get to sit down with someone and talk about your dream. And we want to listen. We want to be present. We want them to feel special and to feel seen, you know? And originally it was just me by myself. Yep, cool. Sleep. Like, I don't know if people quite felt, you know, that. So it's, since we last met, man, it's been really special being on this journey.
Are you, like, still at the point where you have to guess emails, or is that kind of like done now?
No, I still have to guess emails. It's getting a lot easier to get yeses, and a lot more people are connecting me to people now.
You got a big resume now, right?
It's so yeah, helpful. It definitely helps. Network. The credibility helps a lot, but I still guess emails and send a ton of cold emails.
Would you say you still get turned down a bit?
Oh yeah, 100%.
Really?
Yeah. Oh yeah, but I think now it, like, rejection doesn't do anything for me anymore. I just,
you've already got a backlog. You've already got heaps of people who want to go on, so it's kind of like, oh, I'll come back to you in a couple of years' time.
I've probably had like 15,000 rejection emails. I've sent 40,000 emails since I started this, and half of them never got back to me. And then maybe 15,000 of them were like, no. So it really just doesn't, you're just like, okay. And then I try again in like 6 months.
You know? Emails are still important.
Hell yeah.
Emails are still important.
Hell yeah. You got to shoot your shot, eh? And you got to follow up as well. I think that's the big thing people don't do. They send an email and they don't get a response and they go, oh, okay.
Oh, bugger.
Damn, they didn't love, they're annoyed at me. I crossed the line. Just follow up, you know?
Sometimes they may have not seen it as well. Could have just dropped to the bottom of the inbox.
100%, bro. And I don't, do you guys know who Zane Lowe is?
Yeah, of course. Zane Lowe, the New Zealander who lives in LA, who does Apple Music interviews. I love him.
Dude. Could you refresh me? I don't know who that is.
So Apple Music have, their own app. They have a section called the radio section. And he's one of the interviewers who will interview a lot of new artists.
And he's Kiwi?
He's a Kiwi, like, living in LA. I aspire to be like him.
He's amazing.
What's his name?
Zane Lowe. He is like,
you show me afterwards?
Yeah, of course.
He's the, like, interviewer for musicians.
If you want to get interviewed, everyone, he's the guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's the guy that gets the Kendrick Lamar interview. If Kendrick Lamar goes, I'm doing one interview, he'll be him.
Yeah.
Like, he's that
no
guy.
One else.
Really?
And he's Apple Music's guy. Like, he's the head of Apple
Music. He's quite big.
And he's a New Zealander as well, which is, like, fucking sick. Yeah. I would just want to be like him one day, interviewing, like, A-list celebrities, but also be, like, living in LA with, like, a cool American New Zealand accent. That'd be so sick.
Oh, dude, yeah. But, like, I sent him 15 cold emails, never heard back. And then I got a phone call from him when I was in LA. And he was like, dude, I love that. But it took 15 cold emails before I even got a response from him.
So is that
incredible.
Is that in the works at the moment? Or?
Oh, yeah. It's just a timing thing. We're trying to, when the timing's right, it'll happen. But he was so encouraging. And
I can imagine.
Yeah,
and especially from Kiwi to Kiwi as well. Knowing that you're a New Zealander, he'd be not more inclined, but he'd probably be a lot more interested in the project.
Something special about Kiwis working together in a different country.
When you meet a Kiwi in LA, it's like instant kinship. Even with Australians, it's really weird. Like, you meet Aussies in New Zealand, it's like, oh, you're Australian.
Like, when I went to London, there was someone wearing like a Waz t-shirt, And so we ran up to him, and you're like, up the waz, and they just get so excited.
Yeah, bro.
There's just something about it.
Gotta love it. Man.
See Kiwis in another country.
And then you see Aussies in LA, and they're like cousins. You're like, oh, Aussie! And it's like this instant kind of... Exactly. I had an American a month ago in LA randomly bring up Brotown with me.
Like, bro, is that, best that show. Cartoon? That cartoon, yeah, yeah. Right?
Best never, show in all of New Zealand, dude, hands down.
Never been to New Zealand before. He's like, oh, dude, do you know Brotown?
Wait, what?
I was like,
that's unlocked
them. Like, yeah, I watch it on YouTube. I'm like,
that's unlocked a memory.
I was like, that's the most Kiwi, like, the inside
Jeff
thing.
Jeff DeMary is the best fucking.
Okay, you're gonna
character.
Hate me, but I've never seen it. I know what it is. No, I know what it is.
Oh, no, you were never... young when it came out, man.
Yeah, I must have been so.
It was early 2000s.
I remember going to this record store in West Auckland. I can't remember, Southbound Records or something like that. Went in there, they had all these records. And then just in the corner, they had probably about 30 or 40 copies of Brotown season 1 on DVD. And I'm like, fuck, bro, I need to get some of those.
Do you think New Zealand TV is like dying?
I don't really watch New Zealand TV, but that's the thing.
Right, I reckon it is.
Like, I think I was talking to some mates, like, what now got changed to like YouTube or something? Or
yeah, it's not on TV anymore. So, it's only on YouTube channels and
so it's kind of like
that does make sense though, because his target audience probably don't watch TV anymore.
I personally don't even have, like, I got a TV, but there's like
I can't
YouTube
watch TV
stuff
on my TV.
Modern,
yeah, I can't watch TV.
You got to think of it this way as well. Modern, well, not modern kids, but kids these days are more likely to have access to YouTube,
yeah, iPads,
internet, opposed to Sky or like they might have Freeview, but even then, a lot of them probably don't even have that. Yeah. They have Netflix or something, right?
I was explaining to my little sister, like, she was scrolling through Netflix. I went to visit her at her house. She was scrolling through Netflix, and I was explaining to her, like, back in the day, if I wanted to watch something, a TV or movie, I had to see what was on the TV guide. And if there was an ad, I had to quickly go have a shower. And she was like, so they put ads on Netflix? I'm like, no, it's like TV. Like, there's a TV guide. You can't choose what you want to watch. She was so confused. I'm trying to explain to her, like,
dude,
you can't just like click on, oh, I want to choose SpongeBob. You got to like choose whatever's on. And she was so confused.
Yeah, you have to time it well. Like, okay, at 3, I've got to watch SpongeBob. At 4, I've got like
time
regular
the ad
show.
So you have a shower. Dude. And then like the infomercials, like there's nothing on. I'm just sitting there watching like a Zumba ad that goes on for an hour.
My dad's the worst for the infomercials as well. He'll watch those and he'll be like, I need two of them. You know those outdoor heaters that you see? I don't know. Well, you guys might not have seen it, but these outdoor heaters, they're waterproof. They're like wind resistant. They're instant heating. My dad saw that ad and he's like, buy one, get one free. He bought 8.
What?
Huh? 8? So he gave away 1 to each of the family members. We've still got one inside the shed, and we've got 3 in our house.
Is it helpful though? Is it useful?
Well, yeah, it's good for the outside area, but it was just like, fuck, he didn't realize he bought 8. He bought 4. And then because it was buy one, get one free, he got 8 instead.
Bonus.
Yeah, bonus, but...
Bonus.
Got just a bunch of heaters at home now that we don't know what the fuck to do with.
Fair enough. Bonus. Why not? Why
he's
not?
The worst for infomercials.
Do you guys miss video shops?
Oh, yes.
Magical yes. place.
Of course
I
do. Going back in the day with my cousins, Friday night, walking into a DVD store and like the stickers will declare like if it's new or not, if it's more expensive.
$8
one. They had like PS2
or
games.
Three for five as well. You get like 3 movies for $5. Bro, that was
as
the
a
shit.
Dream. I wanted to own one as a kid.
Oh, really?
And I still would love to own one. Genuinely, I would like a dream of mine is to own a DVD store.
Really?
That'd I'm not cool. even because you still have a shit ton of physical media.
Because
as well.
I collect physical. I don't actually have Netflix or Disney Plus. I've got like 200, 300 Blu-rays at home. I just collect physical movies.
I like
because
that.
Like
I
they
respect that, man.
They
hold value as well.
Yeah, and like I think in one country they took all the Indiana Jones movies off Disney Plus, and it's like you never know. Like it's like you own a streaming service, but you don't own the movie.
Yeah, you pay for it, but you don't actually own the rights. Like, therefore, they can just take it whenever they want, and that's the annoying thing about Netflix.
I'm just more of a I'm an old guy. I'm physical.
Man. I respect
I think you personally I think you'd love to have a video store, but I think you'd hate the whole concept of someone like borrowing it and then potentially never giving it back.
There's
the
thing.
I think that you'd hate
no one's gonna give it back now.
I'm not gonna lie. I got a good story. So a few years ago I went to the must have been like 2019 I went to the DVD store with me, my dad and my brother, one of the last DVD stores we could see. Me and my brother rented out 2 movies. My brother got Diary of a Wimpy Kid. I think I got like Batman vs. Superman or something like that. We took it home and we had to return them within 2 days. And so at the time, you know, my parents were split. So I was like going back and forth, my mom, my dad. And I left my dad's house and I reminded him. I said, Dad, make sure to return these movies tomorrow. He's like, yep, son, I'll do it. I go back to my dad's house 2 weeks later and I see the DVDs on the table. I'm like, Dad, you need to return these DVDs. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it later. And then later that night, my dad gets a text from the DVD store. It's a true story, promise you. The text is like, hey, we heard you've got some overdue movies. You need to send them back quickly. And my dad texts them back saying, look, mate, you guys are probably going to get shut down soon. There's no point. And then 2 months later, they got shut down.
That's why they got shut down, because no one takes
that. Yeah, so no one gives that one back. Did you know?
So bad.
Okay, like, fun little fact. As of last year, I don't know if it's still standing, there is still one Video Easy in New Zealand.
A video. Really? I know there's like little video stores around the country, but is there a Video Easy? Where is it?
As of last year, so when I was in Morrinsville, mm-hmm. So Hamilton, it's a bit east, Morrinsville. There's still one there, opposite the Countdown.
How far away is that from here?
So from here to Morrinsville is like an hour 20, maybe an hour 40 from yours.
Next film shoot, that's us.
Do they get new movies though?
I don't know. And this is of last year, so I don't know if it's still there.
You know, this thing is because Disney, this is annoys me, Disney has stopped making physical media in Australia and New Zealand.
Really?
So that Video Easy wouldn't even get like Disney Inside movies. Out, Deadpool, Wolverine.
I mean, I'm guessing they'd only get it if they imported it from like America or some shit.
That's
right?
What they start to do, which is like, I got to get my Disney movies imported from the UK. My friend Xavier has to send them to me.
Oh, really?
At least you've got someone now to actually send them from the UK.
Dude, you're owning plug. The old school.
I don't, I like living in the past. I just, I can't nostalgic. Imagine a world without physical movies.
Steve Irwin's son, Rob, is his name. How was it interviewing him? He seems like such a fucking awesome, like,
he seems like a, like, his
inspirational.
Dad.
Yeah, yeah, oh, shit, yeah. Dude. He takes off his dad a lot.
It was the highlight of 10,000 Dreams, man. It was both him and Terry Irwin. And Bindi was meant to do it too, but then a couple of days before she had something else come up. It was an hour conversation and it was just the highlight of 10,000 Dreams, man. Me and my wife and my cinematographer, Sash, flew to Australia Zoo that morning to spend the morning with them. And dude, everything you would want them to be. So inspiring. And Steve would have been on my list if he was alive, like my dream top five list.
I guess that's cool that you kind of interviewed the family though as
asking them
make rounds. Yeah.
Yeah, and I even asked them like what, like if I was sitting in front of Steve right now and said, what's your dream? What would his answer be? And we did a whole video on what Steve Irwin's dream would be. It was so special, man. Like, I was on cloud nine after that, eh?
That's cool. Because I thought, well, I went to Aussie probably a month or two before that video came out. And I also went to the Australia Zoo, not far from Brisbane. It's like an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Went there and then I saw your video. I was like, what the fuck? This is so cool, bro. And like, I saw them from a distance, like around the zoo, but actually seeing them, like you talking to them in a video, was a bit more surreal and like kind of.
It was incredible. Wait, when did you go to Australia Zoo?
Oh gosh.
Was it July?
This
year?
No. It would have been start of the year. So probably a couple months after, but it was around January, February. Okay. I can't remember the exact date, but when I went there and saw your video, I was like, holy shit, this is like so coincidental, but so cool. I love it.
Oh, I do.
Where was it like filmed in the zoo? Was it kind of in their like private
area? It's at the Crocodile Lodge, which is like just across the road. It's like a new kind of luxury lodge resort type place they've built, which is insane. But that whole interview, like I first reached out to their team in 2020 and they passed on it. So it's just a timing thing, bro. It wasn't the right time. And if I had filmed it in 2020, it would have been, Rob, watch your dream for 30 seconds. And it was meant to happen this year, man. And it was meant to be the morning with them. And it was so special that Terry at the end said it was the best interview they've ever done, which was just insane.
So you reckon if it was filmed in like 2019, 2020, it would have been like a quick,
rush. Because that's what I was doing. Like I was like, I just need a 20-second one-liner. My dream is to be prime minister. Sweet, thanks.
Done, yeah.
Now it's like, no, like, why is that your dream? Now it's a conversation. Now I'm in it more.
You're going more in depth in the question opposed to it being very face value, right?
Totally, bro. And like, how can you be truly honest when you're looking at a lens in front of you? Like, you can't. It's like, it's so awkward. And like, you need this to be honest.
Yeah, 100%. You know? And especially when like a camera lens is right in front of your face, dude. You can't like...
So intimidating.
Yeah. Mm. Especially for a lot of people, they haven't... Well, for us, whenever we interview people on the podcast, some of them haven't been in front of a camera before. Might not have been, at least.
A little nervous.
Yeah, like we've had a couple of people on that they, you can tell, they don't really say it, but you can just tell they're a bit nervous because of their posture and gestures.
Yeah.
I guess if you don't have it directly in front of their face, it's a lot more, you can connect on a deeper
human,
level.
Bro.
Exactly, exactly.
Mm. Oh yeah, that was the game changer. It's so obvious to think about it, going, why did it take me 7 years to go, wait, I should not put the camera in front of people's face and I should sit in, it took me 7 years. Do you reckon, like, it's so obvious.
Are there, obviously you'd never want to go back and redo someone's dream because that's their dream. But is there any, like, anyone you'd like to go back and have more of a conversation with that you maybe haven't in the past?
Oh, yeah, man. And I do a lot of follow-up dreams. I still do them. They're my favorite thing to do. So there's people I filmed 8 years ago who I've done follow-up dreams with.
Shit.
But I filmed the dream of Coco Gauff, who's a tennis player in America. And when she was 15, her dream was to win a Grand Slam. And then she won the US Open last year. Now she's like...
You put that on your story, like...
Yeah,
a couple of I can't remember how long ago it was now, but I saw that. I was like, bro, that's like fucking awesome.
Now she's like a sporting icon in America. I would love to do a follow up with her. Mm. But again, that was a Coco, what's your dream? Like, that wasn't like
a proper conversation.
Yeah, but there's so many people, man.
No, that's cool.
Maybe that will be a side series I do at some point, going back through day one, two, three.
What's like? I know you're always asking everybody what their dream is. You might have, you've probably touched on it a little bit today, but like, can I ask straight up, what is your dream?
Yeah, man. Well, look, dude, my wallpaper, and I probably told you this, but this is my wallpaper.
That's cool.
What's your dream to be on the cover of Time magazine? My like life mission dream is to help the planet dream. I honestly feel like this is what me and my wife are called to do. This is what I was born to do. I'm going to build a film studio like Disney, but centered around dreams. So it's films based on dreams. It's docos. It's books. It's making dreams come true. Kind of like Make-A-Wish, but for everyone. But ultimately, I feel like my life purpose is to help the world dream.
Do you think possibly in the future, like 20 or 30 years down the road, like a very long time from now, do you think you would possibly... How, in a way, help people achieve their dreams? Like, say if they wanted to make a company and they need $5,000 and your business is that, would you ever consider doing something like that?
Being
100%. If you need $5,000 to start a business, here you go. And that, I reckon that'd be a cool
100%,
idea.
Bro. And it's been awesome that even on this journey, there have been people who me and Jade have been able to help in a small way, you know? But I think, there was a long period where I thought asking people what their dreams were wasn't enough. Like, I'm like, it's not enough. I then have to make everyone's dreams come true too. And then I kind of realized in talking to people as well, asking someone what their dream is kind of step one. It is the most important thing, because if you don't know what your dream is, if you can't even articulate it, how are you even going to go on that journey?
Mm.
So it's actually helping people spark that fire that then they can take one step forward and go, all right, this is my path now. I'm going to. So I've kind of just accepted it more, going, actually, no, this is enough, you know?
I'd say you've also put a lot of people on the right path to start following their dreams in the first place. Because, well, you asked me earlier, what's kind of our dream guest? I don't, like, I have a lot of people in mind, but nothing that comes to mind. But now it's like, okay, if I start thinking about someone, it's kind of a path that you lead towards. So
it's more likely to happen, bro.
Exactly.
Like, you saying Kermit the Frog before.
That'd be dope.
That's my dream. That's awesome. And, dude, when I started, I wrote out a list of 5 impossibles, and Elmo was on that list.
And you got him.
And, dude, if you had asked, like, the first few years, did it stop?
Yeah,
still
good.
No, you were good.
Like, the first few years, if I told, you know, telling people I'm going to film Elmo's dream really was, like, impossible. It was, like, you know, when I started, Jono and Ben were, like, Everest for me. Like, if I got Jono and Ben... Dude,
that's,
I made it, you know? And then, like, within a year, I'd been filmed both their dreams and been on the show. And then, you know, 7 years go by and you film Elmo's dream. And now you're like, oh, okay, nothing's impossible. How do I get Banksy's dream? Okay, how do I get Tom Cruise?
Would be like...
How do I get the king? Now it's like, but when I started, bro, it was like, I remember on day 5, I filmed Carmel Cipollone's dream, who was a local MP at the time in Kelston. And, dude, I was like, I've made it, man. A local MP.
That's
never going to get bigger than that. That's crazy, man. Yeah. And now, like, 8 years later, I've filmed 8 prime ministers. And it's like, that was impossible when I started, but it only happened because I didn't quit. Same with you guys. You can get to Kermit the Frog. Just don't quit. But now you've put that out there. It can happen, man. And you go, okay, how do I get Kermit the Frog? Okay, well, I got to build a relationship with, you know, the Muppet Workshop. And then how do I do that? And then you kind of just work backwards, right? 100%, man. You just work backwards.
I reckon my 2 impossibles would definitely be Casey Neistat.
Yeah.
And probably something along the lines of Jono and Ben, because they were always like my idols growing up. Yeah, exactly. Like, just so Jono and Ben at 10. And then they, what did they do? That they had another show.
Yeah, just Jono and Ben at like 7:30.
And then.
It's still a good show.
Still a good show. Just got canned.
I still watched it. Like, the clips. Oh, so I wish they could bring it back.
Or Guy Williams. Guy Williams would be
hilarious. Oh, dude, you gotta get Guy Williams.
New Zealand Today. Yeah. Oh, Guy Williams, Jono and Ben, Kermit Frog. Those are my. Top podcast.
Wait. Okay, I got an idea.
Yeah?
I got an idea. All right. What's the podcast called?
Yeah, All Right Podcast.
Yeah, All Right Podcast. All right. I'm gonna do the voice memo right now to Ben.
Okay.
Oh, yo.
I'll say, bro, we're on the podcast, and I'm like, literally, the boy's dream is to interview you and Jono.
Oh, that'd be sick.
100% think they'll do it.
They're gonna make me cry. I'm not even
gonna. Oh, this is gonna hit.
Okay.
So surreal.
This is terrible of me. Remind me of your name again, bro.
Jamie,
I'm so sorry.
Nah, you're all good.
It is bad form. All right, here we go. Yo, Ben. So I'm on a podcast right now with Jamie and Phoenix. What's the podcast called again,
bro? Yeah, the Year All Right Podcast.
The Year All Right Podcast. Look, these are two awesome dudes chasing this big dream. I'm episode 70.
Yeah, episode 70.
And I just asked them who their dream guests are. And they said Casey Neistat and Jono and Ben. Jeez. So, bro, I'm shooting my shot for the boys right now. You and Jono have got to come on the podcast,
please,
man.
Please, bro, please.
Dude. Oh. Hit me up if you're down, bro, and I'll send you the details.
Thank you. Oh my god, that's so
you're actually gonna make me cry, because genuinely are my dreams.
Okay, I reckon you'll do it, man.
Thank you.
Let's do it now, because then when it happens, you've got the origin story here.
Yeah, bro. Oh, I think another cool thing for us as well is for the sense that when we first started, we believed in a lot of creators, so there's a lot of people that we've interviewed, Peyton, just a lot of smaller indie-ish creators. Miss Mia, London musicians, and just content creators. It'd be cool to see in like 5 years time, to see how much they've grown and see how much, like,
because a couple of them want to come back on in like a year
time. Some of the content creators like O'Shea really wants to come back on in like a year's time to see the growth from when we first interviewed him to like, oh, my name's O'Shea, I have like 20,000 followers, now I have 100,000. Sort of like those Billie Eilish Vogue videos.
Oh yeah,
we want to do something simple.
That was awesome.
That's kind of the idea. It's kind of cool seeing, even though we're only 2 years down the line, it's kind of cool seeing where people have started and grown to where they are now. I think that's just a really cool thing. And
what's like the thing with this podcast, what's the one thing you want people to take away from this podcast?
I think that every guest that comes on, they bring something different. They bring something special. I kind of want people to take away from this that just do whatever you want. Live your dream. You got a dream to do this: tennis player, football player, content creator, streamer, like, you know, boxer, musician. You can do it. Like, we have a wide variety of people that just dreams that come on.
What I want people to take away from this podcast is kind of the name. So when we decided to make this podcast, I brought the idea to Phoenix and I was like, should we make a podcast? You're right. Let's do it. So I just kind of want people to have the mentality of like, don't be afraid to start things. Like when people usually are so hesitant to start YouTube, streaming, doing mini projects, making documentaries because of the social stigma behind it. People are afraid they're going to get bullied. People are afraid that they're going to be shamed upon. I want people to take away from this podcast that you shouldn't be afraid to do that and just say, you're right, let's start it. Because I feel like there's not enough of that in this world at the moment. Yeah, like, bro. There's a lot of people content creating, but they'll get like 6 months down the line, they'll be like, oh, this isn't showing the results, or this isn't like, I'm getting bullied for this, or this just isn't working. I just want people to kind of keep going, and just start it. It doesn't hurt to take the first step.
Oh my gosh, right. And you know when you start and you're like, what if no one gives a, like, what if I get like one like? Like no one's going to care. And you've got zero followers or something and you're so embarrassed about it. Yet once you get to a million followers, you'll be so proud that you're like, guys, when I started here, I screenshot, I had zero followers. And it's almost like you're so, it's like, but the only way to get to the million is to start with zero.
Exactly. 100%. You can't get to that last step before taking the first step. And a lot of people are like, oh, I want to do this. I want to become a streamer. I want to become a musician. Okay, that's cool. How are you going to do that? People are like, oh, I want to have a million followers. You just need to take that first step. It never hurts to take the first step as well. Like, you're not going to break a leg doing it. Like, sure, someone might make fun of you, but oh well, don't care what other people say. Like, it's your life. Yeah, it's not theirs. Yeah. And most of the people that are making fun of you are probably sitting at home wishing they are doing the exact same thing.
They're projecting, man.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. And I just want people to take away that don't be afraid to start things. Just start it and say, fuck it, let's go.
Doesn't 100%, hurt. Man.
I couldn't have said it better,
Sweet. Very well said, Jamie.
Thank you.
We've reached the limit for the podcast. We've got like 35, 40 minutes.
Okay.
Because a second dream of mine is to get a new laptop that can handle.
Yeah, what? I was like, this is short ass.
He's still
you got... You guys need to make these longer, man.
We want to. Genuinely, when I first met you, like years ago, I still had this laptop. I've had this laptop for over 10 years. That's a dream of mine.
Get a new laptop.
That's next year's mission.
Fair.
Because, otherwise, I think as soon as I get a new laptop, hour-long episode.
Oh, yeah, 100%. Or even longer, depending on how the conversation goes, really. Because we've had so many people on as well that we've wanted to go for hours with the conversation. The conversation just kind of keeps going, naturally progresses. It's so fun, but then... You're like, oh, okay, we have to stop at 40 minutes.
Season four, hour-long episodes.
Yeah, surely on your iPhone, there's some way you can record podcasts.
It's more the editing. So
I could record for as long as I can. It's more of the fact that I've got like a 2015 Premiere Pro on here.
So
it's a lot to edit. Like when I edit my movies, I have to like do it in parts. And when I export the 2-hour-long movie, I'll have to like let it go overnight.
10 parts. Oh God.
But that's next year. But I'm going to tell you right now, the fact that this laptop has lasted this long and it's still doing pretty good.
It's pretty good condition as well. Like for
it's got the DVD player. It's got a DVD player.
Holy.
That's why you like physical media so much. You can still play it on your laptop.
Oh my goodness.
That's next year's goal though.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Boy. This
pleasure
having
you on.
This let's, has see been awesome. Let's see if Ben got back. That would really
That'd be so crazy if we could get them on.
Bro, getting them on would be like, fuck, so surreal.
Here we go.
Wait, what?
He goes, hey, bro, honored they would want us. You sure it's us they want? Seems way too achievable as a dream guest. Haha, sure we can make that happen. Get them to email my work email and we can work out a plan.
Yo!
There you go, boys.
Do they send it? Do you mind?
There you go, man.
Do you mind? What's the work email?
I'll go to you after this.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Oh, that's awesome.
There you go, boys.
That's so sick. Thank you.
And just say when you email him, just say, this is the podcast phrase I dreamed about.
I'll email him.
Bro. I knew that too, man. They're awesome.
You've actually
guys.
Just made one of my dreams come true.
Yeah, this is like.
That's guys. Actually crazy.
Fuck, bro. I've always watched him as a kid as well. Like, I just can't even begin to fathom
it. I wasn't allowed. I mean, I still did watch him as a kid. I know I wasn't really allowed.
Did you watch Pulp Sport?
No.
That was like old school Ben.
Oh, really?
Like, I've only, maybe it was like early 2000s.
I go back to like Jono and Ben at 10. So what did they do before?
It was before that. Like Ben did a separate like sports comedy show with another dude called Pulp Sport. It was insane. Shit. This was before Jono came into the picture, I'm pretty sure.
Shit.
But so, I'm putting my age out there now. I'm 30. So that's why I remember Pulp Sport.
I definitely would remember something like that. But that sounds cool.
Thank you so much for
Yeah, thank you.
Though,
thank
of
you.
Of course.
Pleasure having you on. Thanks we need you on boys. Again sometime soon.
Course,
maybe in a year's time.
We'll make it
when
a
you reckon
thing.
you'll move to LA?
Oh, we're aiming early next year.
Early next year. Well, if you ever come back to New Zealand,
oh no, we'll definitely be back and forth.
That's awesome. Now we got. Sweet. Thank you for coming on.
Sick, boys.
Thank you, bro. Awesome.
See you later.